Hi, I'm Rami.
And I'm Shannon, and this is Workplace Hugs, where we talk about interesting things we've read, learned, or experienced to help all of us expand our life toolkit with a whole bunch of empathy, but without a whole new degree. Rami, what are we talking about this week?
So I want to point out that when one of us does the intro, it means that the other person is leading the episode. Mm-hmm. So
if listeners haven't caught on by now at episode 214.
I'm sure you've caught on to that by now. But what I will point out is I just want to look at the last few episodes we've done. Shannon talked about comfort strategies and how to work and grieve at the same time. I talked about Occam's razor. I talked about Dickens and Prince. And now we're talking about Julia Child. So Shannon is like very much like, here are things that are obviously relevant and very helpful. And I've got like a strategy for you. And with Rami episodes, you guys are getting, here's a random thing that may at some point get to where we need to and be helpful to us. So Julia Child.
But that's why people like us, because we're good balancers for each other, you know, like, and that's why I appreciate your episodes, because it's like expands my thinking.
Well,
Julia Child's what we're talking about, though.
And there's a show that Shannon is watching. How is it?
I really enjoy it. It's on Max. They had a season one. Season two is out now. It's great. I enjoy it. It's just fun to learn about French culture and
so it's like about her living
life
in France and like becoming Julia Child.
And then into her time at, like, I mean, she was always Julia Child, I suppose, but like into her time when she became famous, like for the show and whatnot.
Okay. So
but like, did you know that she had co-writers
of her book?
Of her cookbooks? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen how big they are, Shannon? They're like tomes.
Yeah. It's
what's we're going to talk about? Cool. We're going to talk a little bit about
that. Oh, okay.
So I want to talk about Julia Child and the art of diaries, but only as an aside because...
Sorry, TV timeout. Is that an actual book? Like somebody wrote a book called Julia Child? Oh, okay, okay. You're just like doing the play on like the art of cooking. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah.
Or joyful cook art of cooking. Okay, yeah.
The joy of French
the
cooking?
The art of French cooking. Anyways, something like that, you guys. Julia Child.
So there's a lady named Gillian Hess. She's an English professor and author. Who looks at people's notes and then gives tips and tricks about those notes.
Cool.
So she looked at Julia Child's culinary notes, which are available for people to look at for some things, but especially the first book that she wrote, which is like fascinating to look at her handwritten notes because it goes from like chicken scratch of here's what I need for this recipe to like typed out recipes that still have like notes all over them to like final versions of recipes that still have like a few notes on them, which I think is so fascinating. There's some examples of her notes, such as a diagram of a chicken, a recipe for beef bourguignon, a list of ingredients for a souffle. Shows how she, Julia Child, would use her notes to organize her knowledge, experiment with new techniques, and communicate her passion for cooking to others. So there was like three big things that came out of this article that I read. And like the three big things were, let's just go through them slowly. And that's what we'll talk about today. So
yeah.
Diaries are a record of our priorities. So if you're not sure where your energy is going, take a look at your daily diary. Most people don't write out their favorite restaurants and what they ate with Julia's gusto. She had clear priorities, but what I really like and take away from this is you may not be explicitly writing your priorities, but you're implicitly putting them into your diary. And so my question to you, Shannon, as a diary writer is, do you explicitly write those priorities or are those things implicit?
I explicitly write them. And you guys, I I bind my journals at the end of every year. Like, I take photocopies of my handwritten notes, put them in a PDF, and then send them to this website to print them into like a hardbound book so I can keep it forever. This is how important my writing is to me, is the point. And I debated if I should have my to-do lists mixed into that or not. And I decided, like, yeah, I'm going to have them mixed in because it's how I live. Like, it'll be like 3 pages of journaling, and then it'll be, I maybe make a new to-do list for myself once every 6 weeks. Like, I'll kind of make like this big master to-do list and then work from it for a couple weeks at a time. And I just made a new one. So yeah, my priorities are right there, like in my journal, mixed in with a lot of other stuff altogether. That's
fascinating. I love that. I wish I was a good journaler. Diarrhea.
I go through spurts. Like, I was laughing at myself. You can tell the years when I was in cocooning seasons because my journals are way bigger those years.
But Shannon, so
2019, I was in a cocooning season. That journal is freaking huge.
Okay.
Oh, but no. 2020 maybe was worse yet because I had to split that one into two volumes because my printer wouldn't print it all in one volume.
Okay. Let me take a step back here. You have a printer who prints your journals. They You also get your journals printed, which is 40 steps ahead of most of us. So I wouldn't undersell your journaling and diary-ness.
It's just fun, you know? And it was like, I want to keep... So the way that... Wow, we're getting off track here. Let's continue with Julia Child.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about the art of diaries, so I think it's fine. Journaling, diaries.
Okay, fine. Then I'll share. Like, you guys, I have like a full-blown method on this, right? So I use a notebook called the Levenger where you can take out pages and add pages in. You can print pages off and punch them with a special hole punch to like mix them in with your journal at the same time. So it's like all right there, but I don't like to keep them in that. Like, that's like my working journal, if you will. But that's why I take the pages out. But I was like, I don't want a bunch of loose leaf pages just like hanging around my house. So that's why I was like, you can get printed bound. They're called textbooks when you upload a PDF. And it's like $12. It was like, that's worth it to me to not have a bunch of random ass loose leaf with personal thoughts floating around the house. Instead, I'll clearly label on the spine, Shannon's Journal 2020, so anyone can read it.
And it's dated, so they know.
They know. What about Julia, though? What did she do? Tell us more.
Okay, so the second one was repetition. So they talk about how masterful notes are often a process of repetition. So in her notes, we see Julia trying out the same recipe multiple times and revising it until she deems it foolproof.
Oh, that's interesting language, foolproof.
Well, because she has to put it into a cookbook. These people
that other
have
people
never,
can follow. Yeah.
That they can follow and that they can make it, right? Like, you and I may know what beef bourguignon is now because of that movie, Julie and Julia, where the lady made all the recipes.
Mm.
But if I'm a homemaker in the 1950s and 60s, and I see a French recipe that I've never eaten because I make a lot of aspic in friggin' jello molds.
Yeah.
It has to be so simple that I can make this at my house. And something yummy comes out, even if it's not exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Especially when you put the amount of effort and cost of ingredients into making those things, right? Like, French recipes use a lot of butter. They use a lot of eggs. They use a lot of, I don't know, like rich products like duck and things. Like, or even like the beef that you're using for beef bourguignon and wine. Like, it would be horrible to spend all that money on a dish and then have it come out terrible.
Yeah, it would. So that's, I'm grateful that she made it foolproof. Have you, another tangent, man, I'm all about the tangents today. Have you ever cooked a Julia Child recipe before?
I made like two of them. But I just don't like French food, I don't think, that much.
I've made beef bourguignon before, but not her recipe.
I wonder how much the recipe you followed, though, was inspired by her recipe. Because
probably a lot.
I feel like all of French cooking is like very inspired by her because she did such a strong deep dive into it.
Okay.
That she like documented so much
like,
of it.
I'm feeling like every French person listening to this episode might be offended by what she just said.
I'm saying like contemporary French cooking, like she did a really good job of in that time frame elevating it to a thing that people were doing in the United States when I don't think they were doing it. I'm saying, like, she documented it at that point, a historical document of French cooking right then and there that made it super yes. popular for everybody across the world, which I think then had an impact on it in the future because of how it was received then.
Yeah, that I would agree with. It's interesting because in the TV show, which is my only context, they highlight some of her co-writers and they are French. Like, it's a French woman is like her primary sure. co-author, yeah. you know, and they talk about the tension in that of like how she was frustrated with Julia because she kept wanting to like dumb down or change recipes to Americanize them. And it really pissed her off. So that's where I was just like, whoa, 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 let's be careful. I don't know that Julia Child impacted French cooking. she took French cooking and made translated it, mainstream. It
yeah.
to the U.S.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think she brought very specific French style to the U.S. and made it more accessible, which I think made everything about France and French food more accessible to the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a question for you, but more a question about Nate. But you can answer it for yourself if Nate's example is not a good example. When you mm-hmm. do things over and over, do you keep track of it? My question would be for like Nate. When Nate goes golfing mm-hmm. and he plays the same course, does he know like, okay, I shot, I'm just going to say a number here, a 90, and then I shot mm-hmm. an 89, mm-hmm. then I shot a 92, then I shot a 91. Like, does he track those things?
Yeah. He has an app. I don't know if this is like normal. I'm guessing it's not normal. He has an app and he uses like a special clubs or like a special sensor in all of his clubs and a special sensor in the golf balls or something. Like he buys special golf balls that have sensors in them. So literally every time he hits the ball, it tracks it in the app and it tells him what club he used for that shot. It tells like really detailed notes he's shown me in the app before, and he can filter by course, you know, so he can see like, yeah, he's a data head when it comes to golf. Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm saying.
He keeps track
so that the next time he plays it, he can be like, okay, yep, this was the course that I bogeyed on. So like, what did I do last time? How yes. do I adjust for that? And how do I
exactly
in the same way that Julia would be like, okay, I made that recipe. Let me take my notes. How do I do that better the next time? Like for yep. me, I have a smoking journal. It's the only journal I keep.
Wow.
So when I smoke meats or
to be clear, Rami is not saying he keeps a smoking journal for like my tobacco cigar. Smoking.
It's funny, it's
like,
because
people
like,
might misinterpret that and that yeah. would be amusing.
So I will like have it and it'll be like, okay, I smoked the turkey and here's what it took. Here's what, how long it took. Here's what we thought of it when it came out. And then here's what I would adjust next time. And so for me, it's like, okay, I want to smoke a turkey. I've done it 3 times. This last time turned out good. So I'm just going to copy that same recipe, do it again, but like keep track of everything because maybe the external temperature is going to have a change on like what comes out or whatever. And so I think it's fascinating to see that a lot of us who are repetitious will keep journals or documentation in that way. And strive to do things better, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that I'm tracking like this right now is my running pace. So I keep a note in my phone because I'm working to get faster at running again. And so I'll just note, like, is my pace getting better? Like, my overall pace.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Fun. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, the last part. Rejection is part of the process. It sucks, but every successful author or person has experienced rejection. Julia dealt with her cookbook's rejection brilliantly. Of course, she kept working on her manuscript, but she also really valued the process of crafting the cookbook. I think it's fascinating to see very successful people fail because we see them almost as not failing because we see the success. We don't yes. see all the failures that happen routinely throughout that process as they got to where they got. And even at the point where they were, failing at that point. So I always find it fascinating to see other people fail because it's such a welcoming experience to see others fail. And it helps you feel like you can fail. So my question for you, Shannon, is do you keep track of your rejections or failures in your journaling? And do you write them explicitly?
I don't. And I have mixed feelings on this. When I first started my coaching business, I used to do these one monthly page spreads where I would divide it into like four quadrants. And I would, what was on there? I think I would say wins. I wouldn't call them failures. I would say lessons. Mm-hmm. Wins, lessons, challenges, look ahead or something. Maybe those are the four areas. And I would reflect on those. But honestly, I found it, I probably have some work to do on how I take rejection or failure. I also used to keep like a pending tab in my client management system for all the clients that I did initial consults with. And, you know, just in case, like if they didn't choose to sign up, if they did later, I don't do that anymore. Right after I meet with them, I move them from pending to inactive as soon as we have the meeting. Cause I don't want to like, I don't want to be looking at that. I want to focus on the future. Like what's next? So I don't know. That's my relationship to looking back at my failures right now. I guess I don't think about them as failures either anymore. I'm just like, oh, that was a, I don't know. A conversation that I don't need to keep track of.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
What about you? Do you keep track?
When my smoking journal, I do. I smoked, the last brisket I smoked was horrible. It was so bad.
That's interesting because you're making me think I keep a, well, I used to keep a bunch of sugar cookie recipes. Like I had six different sugar cookie recipes.
Sorry, and six? Just for sugar cookies.
Just for sugar cookies.
Not like one of them was better than the other. They're all equally sugary and cookie.
Well, I wasn't keeping good notes. And then finally, like a couple years ago, we did our annual sugar cookie bake. And I was
hold
like,
on.
We
what's
numbered
an annual
the doughs,
sugar cookie bake?
Like Christmas cookie making, where we invite everybody over and we make sugar cookies and we roll them out and we cut them in funny shapes or, you know, Christmassy shapes and then we frost them.
That's fun.
You but you had never done that before?
Six recipes. So there's a year where you make like terrible cookies and you're like,
none of them are outright terrible. You know, like it's like.
But some are better than others.
Yes. And I finally took good notes and I narrowed it down to two recipes. And then just a couple. Well, when we're recording this, just a couple weeks ago, I made both of them at the same time again.
As like
and
prep.
I finally. Well, and I finally made a definitive decision. I was like, F this other dough. I'm never making the sugar cookie recipe again. Like, and again, it's so subtle, right? But when you can compare, like I brought all of those reject cookies out to my siblings, my parents' house or something. And they were all like, these are great. Like this was the reject dough.
You were like, you guys haven't tried the good dough though.
Yeah.
That's like
it was
a
so
spark
much
moment.
Better. So for that's interesting for me to notice. I don't make that mean anything, you know, because it's like that's just cooking. But maybe, I don't know, maybe a chef would make that mean something.
No, but I think it's you dealing really well with failure. And I think that that's a healthy thing. What I'm saying is like, I think you are very comfortable with it, like having a new client and having them not convert. You're OK with. It's just like, yep,
yeah.
Next, move on to the next thing. I think you've gotten to that point and because you used to keep them pending. And now, because you're like, oh, they might, I don't know,
yeah,
maybe.
They might, or I used to be a thing that I would want to measure, and I'm like, fudge that, waste of my time, like, on to the next. Like,
so that's what I'm saying, like, look but ahead. I think you still want, like, your sugar cookies, you want the best situation.
Yeah.
Will you share this sugar cookie recipe with us?
I will.
Okay, cool. So, that's been our episode. We talked about Julia Child. The art of diaries, whether or not you're writing your priorities, they are implicitly in there. So if you do journal, look back on those. And if you don't explicitly write your priorities, you are implicitly writing them by what you are spending your time writing about, right? If you're writing a lot about food and restaurants, That's where your priority is. That's cool.
And smoking.
And smoke. If the only thing you write about is smoking, then that's where your priority is in terms of what you want to document. The things you do over and over again, that's how we get better. That's how we continue to evolve as people. And I think that's also a document of what you are prioritizing, right? Like with Nate, he likes golfing. He's going to get all of his golf data and try to do better the next time, right? He's not going to bogey, but maybe he will get a eagle, which I think is a 2-under par. Is that a golf term? There we go. Yeah. I know golf things. And then the last piece is rejection, which is, it's part of every process. It's part of everything that we do. Maybe some of us will have the emotional ability to be very comfortable with it, like Shannon. Some of us may not be as okay with it.
By the way,
Shannon, you have people, you see them once and they're like not a convert and you're like, cool, next, on to the next thing. But younger Shannon pended them for a long time. So be proud of yourself, Shannon. Be proud of yourself. You should be proud of yourself. Progress. And I think look for those things in your own life, but remind yourself, everybody fails. We all are rejected. We all fail. That's a part of existing. And so it's nice to see people like Julia also in the same way.
Yeah.
I would love, Shannon and I would love for you guys to reach out and tell us when you... Here's our question. What thing do you track? What thing do you journal? Is it your everyday? Is it smoking? Is it golf? Is it your sugar cookie recipes? Like, what's the thing that you document? All of us document probably something. Let us know what your thing is, because we would love to hear about it. Also, Shannon's going to share her amazing sugar cookie recipe. So if you make that, let us know how that goes, because we're all pumped about trying that. And with that, I've been Rami.
And I've been Shannon, and this has been Workplace Hugs.